Hey everyone, so this is another episode in my podcast where I rant, ramble, and reflect on basically language learning. For those of you who don't know, this podcast is intended for my current and former students. I'm an ESL teacher currently in the LA Orange County area, and I've been teaching English to non-native speakers for about 17, 18 years now, since 2007. I'm gonna actually keep this really short. I almost forgot to do the podcast this weekend. I had some ideas floating around, but maybe I'll just keep this one pretty short. So again, I'm trying to maintain a momentum, try to do one every week, but some unexpected things happened this weekend. So one of the things I wanted to talk about, and I always talk about in class, is how do you measure progress or ability in a language, right? Your progress in language learning, or your proficiency, or your ability to use a language. How do you measure that, right? Personally, and then, as a school and so on. So one of the things students always talk to me about is stagnation, right? Plateauing. A lot of students feel like they're not really improving. And the question is, well, why do they think that way? Why do they feel that way? Because it's a valid feeling, right? If somebody feels a certain way, they feel that way. Whether that reflects the objective truth or whether that reflects reality is a whole different question. But people feel the way they do, and you have to take them at their word, right? And then you have to decide, well, is that actually reflecting reality? The emotion is true. The question is, again, does that reflect reality? So I think one of the pitfalls, or one of the problems with measuring language ability is, well, depends on how you measure it, right? But most of the time, when you measure it as a school, is you're going to take typically just a reading test, basically, right? Read something and choose the correct answer. Sometimes there's a speaking portion, sometimes there's a listening portion, sometimes there's a writing portion. But most of the time, just for expediency, saving time, saving resources, you don't have a lot of testing staff. So you just give a reading test, click, click, click. Students don't have to interact with anybody. Within about an hour, they're finished, and you get a number. What does that mean? Does that really reflect your learning ability or your proficiency? It's not totally bogus, but it's only a small part of the picture, as we see, right? And if you're my current or former student, I talk about this all the time. The question is, what is language, right? Language is a tool for communication. So whether that's communicating ideas through writing or reading, whether that's communicating ideas through speaking, language is about communication, right? So if you can understand a text passage and you can choose the correct answer, I mean, that's showing proficiency, but is that communicating ideas in an interpersonal context? I mean, reading instructions is, that's important, right? You read instructions in a manual, then can you actually follow those instructions, right? So that is a form of communication, one way, but still. But again, that's only a small part of the picture, right? So, and anyone who's actually used their second language, they're studying a language and then they actually use it in that host country, for example. You study Japanese, and then you actually move there. Right, you quickly find out that how much you actually can use. And so what students, I think, need to remember is that, first of all, tests only reflect part of the picture. And even if you take a test that has listening, speaking, and writing, again, that's still not the whole picture, right? Let me tell you why. So you have some people whose grammar is pretty high level, their vocabulary is pretty high level, but they just can't communicate with native speakers, right? They don't know idioms, or they don't know slang. They don't understand cues, the gestures. They don't understand body language. They don't understand, for example, for someone living in the US, sarcasm, right? They're not used to spoken English, so they have trouble comprehending, English spoken at a natural speed and at a natural with contractions and reductions and so on. And so just because that person shows excellent grammar and gets, high scores on all four areas in a test, does that mean that person is highly proficient? In a way, yes, but if they're confused in social interactions, if they don't know how to talk to their neighbors, if they don't know how to talk to kids, if they don't know how to talk to customers, if they don't know how to, can we say that they're fully proficient? And I would say no, right? And you have to remember too, a lot of being able to be proficient, or I would say to understand what's happening, is you have to learn terminology as well, right? And so you have this situation where a native speaker, and you've obviously, for those of you who are not, native speakers of English in your home countries, you probably had this situation all the time, right? You read a contract and you're like, I don't know what this says. It's your first language, but it might as well be an alien language, right? People are talking about sports and you just have no clue what they're talking about. Even though you understand the same language, there's just so much terminology and context and background information that you're missing, right? So I know I'm kind of maybe getting a little off track here. What I want people to realize, and I think this actually validates a lot of the learning that students do or English learners do, is you have to remember you're not just learning words and grammar and doing your listening exercises and writing your paragraphs, right? You're learning about background information, American sports, American football, the political situation, Democrats, Republicans, what is the House, what is the Senate? What is a 401k, right? Who's that pop star, right? What kind of scandal happened? How can you talk to people, right? Can you understand what people are saying? Can you join a conversation? Can you follow a conversation, right? And again, these are the things that we have to think about, kind of thinking of a more holistic view of language learning. Like I'll always tell people, when I studied Japanese and I went to Japan and, I studied very hard, but I still had a lot of trouble following what younger people were talking about. When people were talking about politics, I struggled a little bit, okay, and I worked hard at it, but I still struggled, right? Idioms and phrasal verbs, I struggle with a lot, even though I studied a lot. So again, these are the questions we have to ask ourselves, right? How well can you function in that language independently, right? We see a lot of people who, I know a lot of people, you probably know a lot of people who are not the highest, most proficient users of English, maybe an intermediate level, but their understanding of the background information and different contexts. They can talk about sports, they can talk about politics, they can talk about law. They can talk about taxes. They can talk about investments, and they don't have the best grammar. Their vocabulary is not that great. But from my perspective, they're able to follow and join conversations and participate. I want to say participate fully and also confidently in conversations. Now, where accuracy is very important, that's a whole nother issue. But again, I think you have to ask yourself, how are you measuring your progress in that target language, in learning English? Are you just using scores as your metric? Are you saying, okay, I feel more comfortable listening to people. I feel like I'm understanding more of what people say. I can join in conversations where I used, when I was at parties, I used to stay quiet. Now I'm joining conversations. And if I don't understand something, I kind of ask somebody, hey, can you explain that for me? So not only am I, my vocabulary is increasing, my grammar is getting better, my listening is getting better, but I'm also learning more communication strategies, how to ask for help, how to ask someone to explain something, how to negotiate with somebody, how to end a conversation, how to start a conversation, how to maintain a conversation, how to deal with someone who is aggressive, how to calm somebody down, how to avoid a conversation, how to avoid giving too much information, how to be evasive, how to be vague, how to be assertive, how to demand or insist politely on something, right? How to be a party host, how to introduce other people. And so again, a lot of times the vocabulary in these situations does not have to be high level, But now we're looking at communication ability, or how can you navigate interpersonal situations, social situations, right? Just a lot of things to think about. I guess what I'm trying to say is everything you're doing is contributing to your learning and your proficiency. If you are always retreating, I don't want to use that sounds bad, but if you are constantly measuring your progress by how much vocabulary you're learning, how many worksheets you're doing, how many sentences you're writing, if you're constantly measuring yourself by those standards, I gotta say, I think you're missing the point of language, right? Again, it's a tool for communication. Can you communicate with people? Not only understanding them, not only talking to them, but kind of again, navigating these tricky situations. So I think I can kind of end it, wrap it up there. I was kind of rambling a little bit, going in circles. It's actually 8 p.m. on a Sunday, so I actually need to get to some other things, but I thought I'd just make sure I get one short podcast out this week. And I was going to do it yesterday, but yesterday was just really bad. I just did not have a chance to really sit down and with the computer and the microphone and everything. But I hope what I'm saying is actually kind of encouraging. I know a lot of students, their scores don't increase that much. As you get older, I understand it's harder to acquire a language. But I think even though you're older and it makes it more difficult to acquire a language, to increase your vocabulary and perfect your grammar and your pronunciation and all that stuff, I think you can still get more information, cultural, contextual information, terminology that will help you participate more in conversations, not only by following them, but also by actually speaking. And again, I said navigating, asserting yourself, avoiding conversations, ending conversations, but in a more natural or a polite way. I think these are things that you can all do even as you get older. So again, when you look back on your progress from the last month or the last 3 months or the past year, just try to think about it more holistically. Try to think of the big picture here, and not just your test scores and your vocabulary and your grammar and so on. I'm going to be honest, for most day-to-day interactions, you don't need that high level of a vocabulary or a grammar. There's just so many other things to think about. Should I end on a story of my time in Japan? I guess so. I don't know. My brain's kind of starting to shut down already. But one thing I always talk about is when I lived in Japan, I taught at a university, and I had one of my classes was the highest level English speakers or users. So we had 3 levels and then a special program. So we had what was called the translation and interpretation program. And so these were the top students who obviously wanted to do something related to translation and interpretation. So they were the highest level students, probably the hardest working, to the point where I think a lot of them started going a little cuckoo, nervous breakdowns and so on. But a lot of them just really struggled with communication, and not just like pronunciation and grammar and vocabulary, but I mean actually, again, holding a conversation in English, ending a conversation in English, requesting something in English. They were missing a lot, again, those contextual information or background information to be able to talk to native speakers of English like Americans, sports and politics and so on. And they could do it. It's just that, 95% of their attention was focused, again, just on vocabulary, grammar, and I'm talking about vocabulary, like just your standard vocabulary, not anything really specialized or for a specific context. Not a lot of focus on communication strategies. What I try to do with them is what I try to do with my students now. Is let's think of the bigger picture again. We're using language as a tool for communication. It's not just something that you study and that you use to fill out worksheets and pat yourself on the back and say, hey, I learned 100 words this week. Okay, that's great. But are you able to communicate better? Are you able to understand people better? And I think ultimately, I think that's how you have to measure it. Okay, well, I'm going to stop there. I'm kind of, again, it's the t name of the podcast, right? Is Rants. Rambles, no, Rants, Rambles, and Reflections. I don't even remember. But I hope you found this useful. Some of the other topics I want to talk about in the future, using AI voice for listening exercises by yourself. I kind of touched on that before. I'm kind of looking at my whiteboard here. Broad knowledge. I wrote that down. I kind of forgot what it meant, but I'm sure if I think about it, I'll remember. But I had this idea of talking about broad knowledge and listening before reading. I might have touched on that before, but the use of audiobooks and podcasts, but listening before reading, you can use software now that will take a text and, turn it into a listening or a listening passage and audio. Knowledge versus confidence. I think that's what I should have done today, but I can do it another day. Knowledge versus confidence. We have a lot more knowledge, I think, than we actually are able to demonstrate or express. I'll talk about my own experience in Japan. I'll tell you what, a few beers and all of those, your confidence goes way up, right? So yeah, those are some of the topics I'd like to talk about. If you have any suggestions, if you're listening on YouTube, you can leave a comment or a question or a suggestion. Otherwise, yeah, looking forward to the next one. I think the next one will be a little bit longer and a little more structured. All right.